wisdom. And here comes the truth. And here comes your favorite podcast, always still made for you.
We're texting pretty much all day today, but just delving into the topic of guys texting, it's pretty funny because it's like, here's an example. So another lawyer, kind of my mentor when I moved back to Dauphin, then he moved back to Winnipeg, but he's just like the smartest guy I've ever met, pretty much. And so me and him are texting, and this is like last month, and I knew he was going to be in Australia for the Formula One opening. He got me into like racing and F1 and things like that. He has a race car, and I've gone out there outside of Winnipeg with him, which, you know, race car, not fun. Like taking a corner at 100 kilometers an hour and stuff like that. It's not an enjoyable experience. It's rather violent. But anyway, so we're texting.
That's hard on the body. Yeah.
Yeah. You got the helmet. You're strapped in. 5-point harness. It's not the best. So he's texting me photos of where he's sitting and everything. We're talking about the trip and then talking, you know, about the race and everything like that. And then get to work. And then the lawyer magazine comes out and you sort of look at people, like it's got the practicing, non-practicing. So it's normally people going on mat leave or pat leave or something like that, because they're taking a year off. And then I see his name there and he went to non-practicing. I was like, so quickly Google him, like, is he sick or what happened? Did he get fired or something? And no, he's a judge. He got appointed a judge, you know, which is something he's always wanted. You think maybe, you know, that would have came up in the texts.
Wow. Nope. You just didn't bring that up.
No, I guess he just, you know, like typical guy texting. Let's talk about like how the Aston Martin vehicle is, if it's going to make it to the end of qualifying, but not, hey, I'm a judge now, by the way, careful what you tell, what you text me. So, Your Honor,
cool.
You should be referring to me as Your Honor now, type of thing. But no, that's just like, you know, kind of like typical guys. You like, oh, by the way, I live in North Dakota now. What? When did you move?
No,
getting married. Yeah, I'm married. I've got a kid now. What?
Yeah, what? So, what just happened?
Yeah. So, yeah, just kind of.
I saw blast from the past, Jesse.
Oh, nice.
I saw Jesse, and we're sitting down. We're like, let's go eat. And where should go? He goes, how about the pinnacle of Winnipeg food? We're going to Earl's. I was like,
oh,
okay.
No.
I'm like, okay, whatever. So we go there. And then we're sitting down and talking. And he dead straight looks me into the face and goes, I hear Frank's going to finish those renovations at the bowling alley pretty soon. And I just about died. I was like, I don't know how you sneak that up on someone so dead serious in the middle of a conversation, but it was the most well played out of nowhere. Just for listeners that don't understand, since we were in high school, the bowling alley has been getting renovated. And it's still being renovated. And it's the exact same as 1995.
Is it really being renovated, though?
It's in a constant state of disarray, I guess.
It's getting there. It's getting there. They got the room that's just all plywood. That was a big step. They took the carpet out from the under the far room bowling pool tables. So they got the carpet out. They're ready to roll. 27 years later.
I only hung out with Jesse once my entire life that night we recorded the podcast, but he's one of the coolest guys I know. Just based on that. And like, hey, I'm not going to lie. I used that line tonight on a friend from Winnipeg, because I was like, yeah, we had a birthday party at the bowling alley today. He's like, oh, those are crazy with all the kids. And I was like, well, good old Frank keeps everyone in control. And he goes, oh, and this person took piano lessons with his wife.
Yeah.
So he goes, Frank's still at it, eh? And I was like, well, he can't stop until he finishes those renovations. And then it didn't land. He goes, oh, didn't realize there were renos.
Like,
oh. You know, there's, yeah, come on, Darcy.
Amateur.
I'm calling you out. Yeah.
Amateur. It's the perpetual. That's like, that's the over under now.
Well, there's a, there's like the, there's like a, it's massive, that back part. Like 10 years ago, we went there for like a Christmas party there at work.
It never ends. There's just rooms and rooms.
But now there's, it was all boarded up though in there. So I don't know if he's given up on the banquet room or if there's just a lot of renos going there and he wants to keep the noise out from the How many parties do you think were happening concurrently when I was there?
There could be people trapped in one of those rooms. Like, there could be a lot of missing people in one of those rooms. They were having a party and they just boarded it off. It's like, what's that game or what's that movie where you're in the back rooms? That's the back rooms. Is just back rooms is just the bowling alley in Dauphin. Do you know about back rooms, Carter?
No.
Brent, do you?
Yeah, I was just listening to their lore. Yeah, I've been down this rabbit hole lately.
It's
like it's very cool.
It's a whole thing, Carter. You really should know about
it. Oh, okay. Yeah.
The back rooms where it's like,
I thought this was like a movie like Green Room or something like that.
No, it's like that whole, it never ends and there's all these clues. It's, yeah.
There's a cave or something, yeah.
Yeah, and it just goes forever, right? It's the back rooms. Mm-hmm. You're like, that's actually the bowling alley in Dauphin is actually back rooms.
Well, because I walk in and for Wilder's party, and there's a party to the left, party to the back, right? And so Wilder was like the third party happening.
Inception.
There.
Partyception.
And I wonder how many were in the back rooms.
And there's a creepy kind of basement thing.
Ooh, I can imagine.
And if you can get behind the bar, there's like a side room behind the bar. Weird. That place is strange, but they got a hell of a sign.
Darn right.
Hell of a sign.
Pretty affordable, too.
Yeah, it's good family fun.
Well, yeah, it was like $10 a kid to have the party for them to go bowling. And then they loaded up on, I got $115 worth of Boston pizza. And no one, at like for 3:30, which isn't the best time, especially after people ate lunch. And they're like, all the kids are eating the chips and the drinks and everything like that. And there's cake and strawberries. I was like, man, no one's going to eat this pizza. And so I was like, oh, how expensive is this going to be? It came to like $120 total. It's crazy.
Wait, that's like Home Alone pizza. Seriously, man, that was some expensive pizza they ordered in Home Alone.
Yeah, what was it?
Didn't they get like, it was like $19.90 and it was like $140 for the pizza. Which was not nothing. Though. What?
It was $122.50.
Did you Google it?
Yeah, so they got 10 pizzas, so it was like $12.25 per pizza.
In 1990?
Yeah. I paid, I got two Boston Royals. Those were $37 each. And even, you know what sucks at Boston Pizza? Boston Pizza is good, but the cheese pizza is no good there. And it was like $27.
Why would you bother with a cheese pizza?
Because it got a bunch of six-year-olds. My kids are eating Boston Royals with shrimp and mushrooms and olives, but every other kid's eating cheese pizza.
The filthy kids, you just give them the cheese. Just order them pizza bread with sauce, a little marinara. Good enough for you commons. My children will eat the royal.
Well, Boston, we had two royals out there.
Like
it was
optional. It's like a double power, because Boston's pretty much royal already.
Yeah.
Boston Pizza aid for no poors. If you go to Boston Pizza and look at the menu, look at the prices, I mean, like, that's not what we're here for. You go there and you know it's going to hurt. Not as bad as the intersection that it's located on.
Oh, God.
But it's going to hurt.
I'm just so scared driving through that intersection these days now. Oh, I had
it's
to drive.
It's the most terrifying place in Canada is that intersection.
Yeah.
If you could make a right out of the pita pit and then successfully make a left and go back towards town without getting decapitated, you've made a big accomplishment, because there's many a people that are going to die at that intersection coming out of their left. You have to blindly turn left into an intersection where there's people coming from behind you turning right into you off a highway. And they're
flying. Have you been around there when pedestrians are? That's a new wrinkle, man.
They should just have one of those things, like, you know, Psy, the Gangnam Style guy.
Yeah.
You know how he pops out of the stage? They should just have that at the intersection for pedestrians. They should just have pop-up shoes for people just fly out of the intersection, because you're dead if you try to cross that intersection. If you could walk to the liquor store to Pita Pit without dying, you better have some butter in your bag, because you're never going back. You're never going back. That's a one-time crossing the road situation. Oh, the amount of money that was spent on that.
Engineers involved. Unbelievable.
Yeah, somebody went to school for that.
So I just got back from London. And there's only one thing I want to talk about. Chinatown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was a great part of Mexico City, was Chinatown.
Yeah. No cars there. I don't know. Has anybody, Brent, when you went, did you go to Chinatown?
Where's that?
North of Trafalgar Square there, theater district a little. You'd know there's a lot of dragons and lanterns adorning the streets and stuff like that. But I'll post a picture on the blog. So it's just all walking.
Yeah.
And the streets, and I'm not exaggerating but there is, on each street, 30 to 40 Chinese food restaurants. And it's ridiculous. So on the outside, it's just the menu. And
there's one called Hong Kong Cafe Dauphin.
Hey, it's coming back.
So I wonder how those fish are doing.
So, yeah, 30 or 40 restaurants, because we just went down one street. That's, what are we going to go check out? What, you know, nothing here. Going to go to the next street over. No, we're committed. So, yeah, you just look at the menu at each place, and each place inside's like full hustling, bustling. Like, the competition there is unreal. You can't go in there and offer a substantial product. You know, you got to be top of your game. So, you know, we look through the menus, and the amazing thing is, Janelle wanted the preset menu because she won't listen to this, but she's kind of plain when it comes to her Chinese food takes. You know, we've gone over that place on Dalhousie with like the ox blood and the tree fungus and the entrails, you know, like that's real Chinese food. So I'm a little in between, I guess, but she's looking for pretty plain stuff. And like, of all these 40 restaurants, they all have the same like preset meal. And you're like, well, are they all just sharing a kitchen or something like that?
Yes, absolutely. There's like four pans. And it all tastes the same. It's like Mexican food. It's literally all the same.
Yeah, but the rest of the menus were different. Like, some had,
because no one's ever ordered those things.
Yeah. So it just sort of seemed like the preset menu was all kind of the same, where you start off with, like, these prawn chips, and you get into this type of crab soup with corn, and then you get into, like, these dishes, dumplings in these dishes, and then like the more premium version had like duck, which she didn't want to get involved with. And so it was like, you know, preset dinner for two. And we're like, okay, let's pick this one here because it looks pretty fancy inside. The aquariums, clean aquariums, Hong Kong style.
Yeah.
And so we walk in, and the menu looked a little bit more simplistic, and price was right and everything. Prices are different though too for like the same thing. So we walk in and they're like, oh, do you mind going upstairs? I was like, well, you know, kind of way we selected this place, is this main level looks so good, but yeah, it is full. So we go up to the second level too, so we're sort of in the third level, and there's no windows or anything like that. We're like, yeah, this is a little disappointing. And they give us the menu, and it's like a phone book. It's so thick.
Yeah.
And of all people, this is where I heard it from, and it's so true. And he's the biggest idiot in the world. And this is going to go completely left field, but Mike Lombardi, you know him, hey? He's Bill Belichick's like right-hand man, the GM of North Carolina football. He's a complete and utter idiot. But what?
Okay.
he would always say on the Bill Simmons podcast like 13 years ago, is like, you know, you go to a menu, you go to a restaurant, and you know it's good if there's six things on the menu, because, you know, just like a football team, they do six things, you know it's all good. You go to a restaurant like Boston Pizza and they do 50 different things, well, you know, none of this stuff is good. I guess Lombardi's Italian, he knows about this. But whatever. So this Chinese food restaurant's got like a million things on the menu. It's so confusing and it's just out of control. And so we just get up and leave, go down the three flights of stairs, and we're like, wow, we gotta find something else. And so we just sort of settle on this one. And let me tell you, one of the best meals we've ever had was the stupid like preset for two people at this Chinese food restaurant in Chinatown. Like, stupid good. It had no right being as good as it was. It was ridiculous. Whoa. Yeah. And luckily though, like after the fact, we looked up Google Maps restaurants, and then looking at all the out of five stars, and this one actually was the highest one of the 30 or 40 on the entire block. So
Wait, you don't use the Google reviews to pick your
I always do, except for this, just cashier amount. And the good thing about England is they've got food safety things posted on the front if they're like 5 out of 5, 4 out of 5, that type of thing there too. Because let me tell you, like, you're just like walking to the Sherlock Holmes Museum and you're like, oh, mm-hmm. What's this? And it's like this like back alley, and it's got like really like rinky dink black cloth food stands. There's like, again, 30 to 40 of them, and it's like worker release.
They all share one star combined.
Yeah. And it's like worker release program, helping convicts get back on their feet. And the next one's like Turkish food, and the next one's like Lebanese. And you're looking at those stars there to make sure, because this is literally like a pop-up that might not have been here yesterday and might not be here tomorrow. And that was good too, the Lebanese wrap. Mm-ah.
Did you get a curry in London?
Yeah, my first meal there. Yeah.
The UK does curry pretty well.
Yeah. But I was more, yeah, I was getting like falafels on the street and stuff like yep. that. Donuts on the street.
Did you watch the SNL UK?
No. Is that who's the host of that again?
Well, it's just like it's Saturday Night Live.
The first episode just came out, though. Oh yes, yeah, that's Tina. Who was hosting. Yeah, it's kind of a boring choice.
And the music was good.
Oh, it would be much better actually.
I'm gonna have to check that out.
But yeah, I know. I'll post a picture on the blog. But Chinatown, the best. That was like an absolute highlight. I thought stuff like the soccer game would be a highlight and whatnot, but no, it was just picking out the restaurant in Chinatown.
I was in Winnipeg Thursday night, recording pedal steel guitar in an upholstery shop in the bad part of town.
Oh.
Yep. I'm producing a record and we needed some really good pedal. So I hunted this guy down and I was like, I'm coming to you to get the guitars. You're going to play them. He's like, all right. Cause he didn't have a studio. He doesn't do any right. So I was like, where can we go? He's like, well, we can go to my upholstery shop. I'm like, where is it? He's like, blah, 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 Hastings. I'm like, oh yeah. Ooh. Let's go. We're going to an upholstery shop in an old factory in Hastings to record pedal steel guitar. Yes. This is a good way to die. Legit. If I'm dead, this is a great way to go. They'll find me on the train track or under the mural with the guy shredding, which may be gone. The word on the street is that the guy shredding in the boxcar on Disraeli is gone. And if that's
part
the
of
case,
the Disraeli, part of the Disraeli bridge renovations there.
Oh, did they? You know what I'm talking about, right?
No.
Brent, do you?
Do we have to put this on the blog again?
Wait, have you
no idea?
Seen it? Oh, Carter, do you actually not know what I'm talking about, Carter?
I might, but
okay, when you're driving over the Disraeli Freeway into like the northeast part of Winnipeg from Maine, and you go over Disraeli, if you look on the left, there's all these giant murals.
Yeah, I'm seeing the piano, the train.
No, just wait. No. Shh. There's a train. And if you look inside the train, one of the cars is open.
Oh, yes. I see
and
it.
There is a guy shredding on a guitar for no reason.
Seeing like his banjo is the wheels, though, right? Is that or is that a different part of it?
No. It's just like a silhouette guy shredding a Strat in a train car in Winnipeg. And Jesse told me he thinks it's been painted over. And if that's the case, we're gonna go paint it back Banksy style.
19190 Disraeli Freeway, Winnipeg. Yeah.
The Shredder. That's so Winnipeg. That's more Winnipeg than even AC/DC is.
Oh, they're coming back, man.
Of course they are.
Ash has got tickets. Voice,
Brian's hearing revenge.
Winnipeg Mural so of the Year 2004. Here we go. Yeah, there's a lot of shredding all over this here. They wouldn't have got rid of this.
No, it's like, it's so good. I'll have to find you a picture of it. Ash knows what it is. Mm-hmm. Me and Ash have probably passed it 5 million times and we send each other messages about it. But if he's gone, I'm going to be so sad. I'm going to be so sad that's gone. Because that's so Winnipeg. Like, that's... Oh, so good. Brent, when you see this picture, you're going to die. Carter, I'm gonna look.
If I remember it when I see it, then I'll be shocked, but wouldn't doubt it.
Okay. Speaking of music, Trevor.
No.
Did you hear about Morrissey? He canceled the Valencia concert. Oh, he cancels a lot there. But
I don't really care about him.
Well, I care about this about him. He canceled this concert in Valencia because he was sleep deprived during the city's notoriously noisy festival. And he put a statement on his website saying, having traveled for 2 days by road, Morrissey reached the hotel in Valencia late on Wednesday. Any form of sleep or rest throughout the night was impossible due to festival noise, loud techno singing, megaphone announcements. The statement went on to say that this experience has left Morrissey in a catatonic state.
Oh, wow.
He would not be performing. He insisted that the concert wasn't canceled, but the circumstances made it impossible to perform. And
so
he wrote that the
hotel.
Yeah. Hotel was an indescribable hell. It will take me 1 year to recover, and that is an understatement. Who does that sound like that you know? Anyone in particular? Little noise kept him up. He's going to take him a year to recover.
Wait, someone who?
Someone on the line right now. Brent,
I'm not sure here.
I don't know. I just when I heard about this cancellation, I heard the quote. I was like, "Oh, this was Brent."
You say
I
that's
heard.
Total Brent behavior.
Total. And I told Janelle this, and she goes, "Yeah, that's Brent."
That makes I don't sleep.
Whoa, shots fired.
Yeah. That's extremely offensive.
Just like a catatonic state, you know, like the noise. It's left me in a catatonic state. It'll take me more of a year to recover. And that's an understatement. Just old man radio. You know, how'd we start off this episode? I had to drive through a snowstorm, get x-rays.
This is all true.
True, I know. Well, Morrissey's canceled 50 of his last 100 shows.
Are you serious?
If that's what the Guardian said in the UK. Yeah.
That's like Axl Rose.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Carter, was it you that was telling me about tubing?
Oh yeah, I went tubing all freaking day.
Yeah, okay, we were talking about this. I don't know how you do that. How could you tube for a whole day? That seems like hell.
Yeah, it's fun. Like for an hour.
1 hour is the lifetime maximum of tubing.
Is this floating down a river? On a water slide or a boat?
This is like going up the magic carpet on the bunny hill, dragging
1 hour,
the kid.
That's it.
Two tubes. And boy, I have never been pulled over. I was a pretty good kid in school. Very good kid in school. So I've never been reprimanded more in my entire life than tubing with Wilder. I think because someone died skiing at Assisippi this year.
Hey, it happens.
Like, cracked down so bad. I just couldn't do anything without getting yelled at. Like, I'd be pulling Wilder on, and he'd be sitting in the tube. Because, I don't know, we kind of had the tube for 6 hours, and he was a little tired. And they'd be running over, like, blowing whistles. He's got to walk! He's got to walk! He's got to walk! He can't pull him! Okay. And then, like, one worker would like be like, yeah, he's fine going down by himself. You can go on that one and he can go on this one. Be like, cool. Yeah, no, we'll still stick together though. And then, I'd hold on to a strap so he wouldn't get too far away. And other ones, then like, this is the afternoon and we've been like doing this all day. And the guy's like, you gotta put that rope through your handles there so if it's better security. And it's like, and what happens if he does get away off me here, there's like
he
a
tubes to the
end,
bottom of
the
bottom.
Hill. I know.
Are these Australians?
Yes,
or...
they're all Australian, pretty much. And then,
oh my god! Okay, so Australians always come to Canada to work the slopes, right?
They do
anywhere.
Okay,
any hill.
Imagine getting stuck in Manitoba. I'm coming to Canada, mate. I'm going to Whistler. No, you're going to Manitoba, where our mountain is the opposite of a mountain. It's a hole.
Yeah.
It's actually not a mountain. It's a pit into an artificial lake.
The other thing is, so like the run, it's substantially long. It takes like 30 to 40 seconds to go down, it feels like. And then there's like all this carpets to slow you down. And at the very end, there's like a quarter pipe that we never even made to the base of it, not to mention ramp off of it so hard that you go flying. So there'd be like people at the bottom on top of the quarter pipe and be like, well, yeah, we could go down. And then, no, you can't go down. You can't go down. It's like, okay. We've been doing this for 5 hours. We have not made it to like, you know, anywhere close. And so even if we, you know, the family would have about 30 to 40 seconds while they're at the top of the quarter pipe now to like look and be like, oh, there's someone slowly making by 20 seconds from now, they might be here.
Stop. You know? Abruptly.
Maybe I should start trotting over that way. It'd be like, you know, when you go down a water slide and there's the green light and the red light or something like that.
Yep.
It's, and then it'd be like, the person's exited the tube and it's like already up the stairs. And it's like, well, you better wait up. You better wait till that person's behind you just in case you shoot out of the slide and like go off the stairs. And
no,
take
this
them out.
Is why they were being like that. I figured it out because it's like being a cop.
Yeah.
And you graduate and they put you on the bike
up
duty.
Oh, by him.
Yes. And then you're like this neutered cop until you're just a jerk to everyone because you're the guy on the bike. Well, that's what happens with the Australians that end up in Manitoba.
And not even the ski hill, the tube park for the day.
Yeah, this is the ultimate bike cop.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, there's nothing that can go wrong on a tube hill. Like, we're wearing helmets and everything. And, like, no
you
one
wear helmets?
Even close. Oh, yeah. Which, yeah.
Mountains have helmets now. I guess
we don't. I
still
never.
Counts.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Or maybe we wore help. No, I don't think we did. Tubing. I always take the international kids tubing at the end of the day. We book an hour of tubing, and we have pizza come at 40 minutes because we know everybody's leaving after about 30.
Nice.
So you tubed for 6 hours? That's insane.
Yeah, it was a lot.
You do it four times, you're good.
Yeah, I know.
Great
and
fun,
the thing
though.
Was,
great
there was
fun.
There was four trails, but the guy said off the start, oh, the one on the right's the fastest, the Wilder. It's like, well, that's the one we're going down all day. So instead of getting any variety, we just went down the fastest one all day. So, yeah. That was just sort of an introductory to the mountain. So we'll go next time. But, yeah, that was a long day. It was good. But and my mom and Link went regular skiing. But, yeah, that was a big day tubing.
Did you ever, any of you, try to run away from home?
Never. My new cat tried to run away today.
Did you ever run away from home?
No, but I was on a hot, busy highway.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You could have got out pretty quick. Stick out that thumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight to Winnipegosis.
Never coming
or
back. Yeah.
Back to Dauphin. Here to Dauphin. No, I never did. I got accused once. I got in a lot of trouble, but we didn't run away from home. We just were going camping, and we didn't realize that we had to tell people. My cousin and I took quad and just went into the river and decided to go live on the river for like a day without maybe telling anyone because we just thought it'd be fun. Then there was people looking for us on horse. But
oh, geez.
I think running away from home is pretty cool, actually, though. Like,
no one would do it now. No Wi-Fi out on the lam.
Yeah, unless you got your data, but your parents are probably paying for it. But like, yeah, I mean, we knew kids that would run away from home. Like, I feel like lots of kids run away from home when they're like three, right? Or they're like, I'm leaving, and they walk to the end of the block, and their parents are like, you hungry yet? And they're like, yeah. And then they come back. But yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty cool, pretty punk, running away from home as a little kid. Not as a teenager, maybe. That's a little more depressing.
Let's normalize running away from home. Let's make it cool again.
As a little child, yeah. I think I invented my own what's it called? The fighting thing? The Gracies.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. Ooh. I think I was doing that in kindergarten. It was like a proto Brazilian jiu-jitsu. There we go. Brazilian. That's so good. I love it. Brazilian bujitsu. But yeah, I just realized that the whole grappling and the like breaking of arms and stuff, like that was my move. But that was just instinctual when you're a little guy. When you're just a little guy, that's all you got. You're not going to outstrong them. You got to get in there close and try and break something. Until Ian Wagner cracks his head open and you can see his skull.
No.
That's not good. We got in some trouble for that one. But he was climbing the top rope and fell.
Hop rope, yeah.
It was the handrails that went around the square.
It was square.
You know where there's like, there used to be the steering wheel?
Oh, Barker. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, that was
the
wrestling ring.
Yeah.
And he'd walk around the top rope. He was like doing a kind of Undertaker thing. And then he slipped and cracked his head open. And we're like, oh, wrestling's canceled for lunch. Run. Yeah. Those good times. Grade sixes would bet on the grade kindergartens and ones to in the wrestling battles. And if you lost, they'd tie you to a chair when they were your lunch supervisor next lunch in the classroom.
Starting to feel sick from the soda.
Oh, no.
Well, you touched the forbidden fruit.
Yeah.
Flew too close to the sun.
And on that note...
we conclude.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm finding this f-ing picture and I'm sending it to you right away.
Don't exist.
Oh, pff, bullshit. I'm gonna find my old phone and get it.